No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Ed is in the studio with me. Keith is on via the web in St. Louis. And actually, later on, we hope to be joined by Tom Haynes from AOPA. He's been doing some flight training with you, right, Ed?
Yep.
And he's been doing well.
Yep.
He actually got another piece of paper that says he's a super pilot or something, right?
Well, anybody's a super pilot next to you, Greg.
Well, okay. That's not very good encouragement. Come on, Mr. Flight Instructor.
Well, that's pretty good because I thought he was going to say next to Keith.
Okay. Well, actually, I talked to Tom this week after he got, some of this stuff done, and we were comparing notes, and he might have some insight because I'm getting ready to get back into my flight training. I told him how much you guys were busting my balls about it.
Yeah.
But I told him, I said, I am serious about getting back in the pilot seat, getting back in the cockpit, and getting back to getting my private pilot certificate. But
it's not Thursday, and isn't Thursday Throwback Thursday? Because I think I've heard this before.
It's not Thursday, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday.
But regardless, you've heard this before, but I have one little step I got to get out of the way. I was going to get my eyes checked and get my medical certificate, even though I was waiting for the third class medical to be erased, but they keep delaying it. So I'm like, okay, whatever. But I got to get my eyes checked, as I told you.
Yeah.
And I'm going through like this LASIK consultation next week.
Cool. So did you look into what the FAA says about that?
I went to AOPA and I checked the medical certificate requirements. They just said there's a little window that you have to let your eyes stabilize, but the optometrist or the LASIK doctor should be able to accommodate me, and he has to sign off on something or other. Says his eyes are good. We fixed them. We put a laser in his eye.
Yeah.
Dug out the retinas. Replaced him with some kind of super retinas, like from RoboCop or the Terminator. Man, the guy can see through walls now. He's good to go. So this flying thing will be a piece of cake.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll find out what he actually says in a couple of weeks. But yeah, I was talking to Tom about that, and he was saying he was having some issues too. So he was like, hey, you go through this process, find out and let me know. And it might be something he might want to pursue down the road too. How about that? Somebody else wants
Greg to be the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I was thinking he was actually... I was like sharing information that to try to make a fellow aviator,
I think
more
he's
productive.
Waiting to see if it makes you go blind, he won't do it.
Maybe. Now that you mention it.
Read the release they have you sign very carefully.
Well, we'll talk to him a little bit later on, find out. We'll get Tom to clarify on the record. But that's coming up a little bit later on. We got some stuff to talk about.
So where are you going to go get this done at?
By the LASIK Institute. Someplace here in Orlando, Florida. Why? It's a big company.
Wondering.
They've been around for years. They got a lot of publicity, and in a good way. They're not one of those action news reporter segments that you see on the local news. These guys are actually pretty reputable. So but you'll hear about that later on because they may if they do well, obviously I'll talk them up if they make me go blind. I'm not going to be a very good testimonial for him, am I? So we'll see how that goes. But
maybe you should check out the Filatowski Center in Lake Mary.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to.
No, okay.
Yeah. Why? Have you been?
No.
Well, then why did you bring them up? Because they're so popular and kind of a big deal in Orlando? Is that why you mentioned them or what?
Well, I mentioned them for two reasons. Number one, the girl that cuts my hair also cuts Dr. Filatowski's hair.
Aha. All right. So, it's a small world because, yes, that's exactly who I'm going
to. His hair, she has to have really good eyesight.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen Keith's hair?
That's the issue.
That's the reason why she has to have really good eyesight.
You got it. He didn't.
Oh, interesting.
So anyway, yes.
She deals with waxing, doesn't she? Isn't it more of a waxing kind of thing that's going on there? I don't know.
You're one to talk.
Yeah, whatever. All right, so anyway.
You guys have never seen the top of my head. You're way too short for that.
Oh, yeah.
So you're just guessing.
I think it's a pretty good guess, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Well, the waxing thing, I was talking about the bathing suits we'd seen him in, but that's another thing.
Yeah, that's
more of a disturbing anyway, issue.
If you listen to another radio show in Orlando, there's a girl on there in the mornings who, if you mention her, you get $700 off.
Really?
Yes.
Well, okay. We'll see. I know people, though. I know those folks. I used to do this back in the day. You forget that before I got into this aviation thing, trying to be a pilot, I did that radio thing, Keith. So I know all these folks. And
there you go.
Yeah. I don't need
and
to
I
mention.
I forgot about all of your contacts.
Yeah, exactly. But see, it just goes to show how small of a world it is, because you know somebody, you know, who knows the people that are going to maybe work on me. We'll see. They want to meet with me. We're having a consultation just to find out, you know, if they want to do anything or think that I'm a viable candidate for LASIK. And, you know, obviously it comes into play with my flying, a big deal here.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I don't want it to mess it up. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And but I'll have a full report for you in a week or two on the show.
Okay.
And then, you know, Tom will learn. You guys will learn. Do you need that? You got perfect vision, right, Ed?
No, I wear contacts.
Oh, you wear contacts.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Keith?
No. I used to have perfect vision.
Oh, you used to?
Then he got old.
Got old, and now you can't see up close. Is that the deal?
I'm starting to get that way.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the problem I have
with him. He's got an extra advantage over you and I. His arms are so long, he can actually hold stuff far enough out that he can still read it.
True. Yeah, the charts or whatever, his iPad looks kind of goofy, but you think he walks around, you know, the flight school. Everybody thinks he's constantly, you know, doing a selfie, but he's actually just trying to read his phone. But
it's not that bad yet.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's just me. But, yeah, you know, it was before that they had trouble fixing that type of vision problem with us older folks. But now, right, supposedly, they can do some more. So that's what they're going to talk to me about. Because I can see far away. I mean, right now, Ed is standing about, 10, 15 feet away from me. You look perfectly clear. And which
His
is
judgment of
unfortunate.
Feet is way off. They're about six.
One, six. Okay, well, 10.
Six.
I'm going to go 10.
Six.
Well, from here to here, that's 10.
Six.
Okay, six, whatever. My depth perception may be off.
Yeah,
but you're in focus. Okay. So I can, but I had radio
you
keratotomy.
You guys sound like a husband and wife discussing something else.
And you're our counselor? Our marriage counselor?
No. Oh, no. All right, moving on, Greg.
Yes. Okay. Well, we got too much into the vision thing, but we will address that, in an upcoming episode of the big show. But today, once again, we have to visit the issue of drones. And, you know, the FAA.
The FFA, Future Farmers of America?
Well, those guys, too. They might not. They're probably fans of the drones because they're, like, watering crops with those things and monitoring.
No, they're not.
What the farmers are using the drones? Yeah,
to look at crops in the middle of the field, and that's about it.
Well, yeah, to monitor their crops to find out what needs
but
more
to
water.
Water them? No.
Well, okay, not to water them. I mean, you know what
I've
I'm saying.
I've got a new use for drones.
What's that?
What's that? Target practice?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
Well, in a way,
yeah.
I want to use them to scout hogs.
Ooh,
drones to scout hogs.
Yeah.
Don't you think they'd scare them?
No.
Really?
No, not at all.
Hmm.
Fly them just right above, right at treetop height, and find out where they're at, and then you can just go over there and eliminate them.
Okay.
Well, you know, hogs are our major problem. Feral hogs are a major problem down south, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Were you aware of that, Greg?
I was not aware of that.
Yes,
we have
are.
A hog issue in Florida, is what you're telling me right now?
South Georgia.
It's in South Georgia. And what these feral hogs are wandering around.
And Florida is Florida, too.
Well, I mean, I've heard of
Florida, yeah.
Look,
Florida's worse than Georgia.
I've been on the internet. I've seen videos of Hogzilla. Is that what you're talking about or what?
No, no. The feral hogs just all over the South. Texas is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you can. You don't even need a hunting license in a lot of places to hunt hogs because they do so much damage.
But you can catch them and eat them, right? I mean, it's like a year supply of bacon. Isn't it?
Yeah, they're a little tough, though. The bigger they are, the worse they taste.
Really?
Because these things eat everything.
Yeah.
You put a tin can in front of them, they're going to eat it. Mm. Great way to hunt hogs.
Drones. Okay, well, that wasn't the flight path I was expecting to take, but we'll figure out where this will take us next on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your dive safety association.
Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, cause you know you should do better. That's because you're.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so drones are in the news. And yes, you could use a drone to catch hogs, feral hogs, in Georgia, Texas, whatever, to your heart's content. Or, you know, use them as target practice. But there's a couple big stories out there. Actually, one... The video out there on YouTube that I saw, somebody or some college or university has developed a drone catcher. So it's a drone that actually has been designed to catch other drones to maybe address some of this security issue we have, you know, like when the president's cruising around Hawaii and someone flies their drone into airspace, doesn't realize that the president's nearby and he's just violated Secret Service protocol and is about to be arrested. They can just have a presidential, you know, a drone following the president that is
a drone
equipped
catcher.
With, yeah, that is equipped with a net. It actually is like a Spider-Man type of contraption on the drone. And I saw this video. I'm sure you can just look it up on Google or whatever and find it. But they press a button and it sprays a net out, like a casting net, to catch bait fish in the bay. But it's through the air. And they catch the drone, you know, about, you know, 10, 20 feet away and catch it. And it has a string on it. And they just scoop it up and take it away. And I'm like, wow. Not only is that kind of cool, having that Spider-Man type technology available to us, but it'd be a pretty cool way to get more drones. And then you catch other people's drones, turn around, and you got a whole nother business that available to you, because you turn around and sell those things on eBay for a pretty penny. They're like several hundred bucks a piece.
I got it up here, and it looks like a tennis court net that they're dragging behind the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? That's kind of cool.
That's low tech, but cool.
It's low tech.
When you're saying Spider-Man type of thing, I thought, you know, they had a web slinger where, you know, it came out of, you know, the wrist of the drone. And
well, I would think that when people get more creative with these things, and they, instead of just, what do you got? Oh, I got a drone catcher. No, it'd be like, I got a flying Spider-Man. And, you know, have it all tricked out with the proper colors and, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. And so here we got a situation where we have these problems with drones, and maybe the drones will solve their own damn problem. You think? Then the government doesn't even have to get involved. It's like, if you got a problem with drones, well, just get another drone that is going to protect you from this schmo's drone. You know?
And then how are you going to... Well, I was supposed to be quiet now, but how...
We only let Keith talk during one segment at a time. But no, we'll give you a pass this time, Keith. Go ahead.
So now how are you going to prevent somebody from going, hey, this guy just stole my drone?
Yeah.
Well, if he registered it, then the FAA won't be able to track it down for him, I guess. So I guess maybe there's one benefit of the FAA making every drone person do that. Otherwise,
we're going to have the FAA tracking down drones.
Well, no, I'm just saying, if he has a problem with it, you know, he shouldn't have been flying it wherever he was flying it. He shouldn't have been flying it near a drone catcher or near.
No, well, what I'm saying is, what's to prevent me from getting a drone like this
and stealing other people's drones?
I see you flying your drone, and so I just fly mine over there, throw the net out, and take your drone and leave.
Nothing. That's what I was saying at the beginning. This might be a new business opportunity for a lot of folks listening right now, including me. I'm thinking, you know, you can make a pretty penny selling these things back out on eBay and Craigslist. Come on. What do you think?
I think that Greg is leaning a little too far on the criminal side for me.
Well, are we? I mean, if they fly over you, like over your property, and you take the drone out, at what point does it become yours? You know? I don't know what the rules are in that regard. You know what I'm saying?
Slippery slope, mm-hmm. Just like political correctness. Yeah, I can speak.
Yeah. Finders keepers, flyers, beware. I don't know. There could be some legal issues involved with this. But I'm just saying, you know.
Where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line?
Yeah. If you just get a sign up around your property, say, hey, all flying drones will be taken at the owner's expense.
But you own the land. You don't own the air.
Well, yeah, but if they're like spying on you and stuff like that, I don't know. Who knows? Get the lawyers involved. I'm just saying, the technology will solve itself, maybe. Maybe the FAA kind of jumped the gun on this registration of the drone thing. The other issue is liability. And evidently, there's some new drone insurance you can purchase.
Oh, God.
For your drone, because they see these potential problems and conflicts with other flying vehicles and things, or falling out of the sky on people. Now, ironically, I did do a little check in this week, and I have been alerted by the, you know, RC crowd or...
Yeah, Aircraft Model Association.
Yeah, AMA, right?
Yeah, AMA.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some folks definitely up in arms about the whole registration thing.
Yeah.
They're freaking out about it. They don't like the Big Brother idea or having to register, you know, a 13-year-old quadcopter flyer that got something for Christmas. And I don't blame them. I mean, I can understand the issues with that. However,
Why do you understand it when they say it, but not when I say it?
Well, I see a conflict.
Oh,
with
I stumped
this.
Them on that one.
Yeah, no, I see a real conflict with this, but actually, they do got the data to kind of back it up, because evidently there isn't any incidents yet between manned aviation flight and drones or something.
Plenty of incidents where they've been close, but no damage has occurred yet.
Right. It hasn't happened. There hasn't been a crash.
How close is close?
Well, I'm sure there's
100 feet or less.
They see them.
Mm-hmm. How do you know?
Well, looking at it was NTSB statistics is what the guy was quoting. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago about the guy comparing the issue of pilots encountering turtles more often.
I see where Keith's going with this, because sometimes, like when you're a student pilot and you're climbing up and there's clouds up there and you think you need to stop climbing because you want to be 500 feet below and we're still 2,000 feet away from them.
Right.
You can't really tell how close they are because you've never gone up and been in the cloud and come down through the cloud to know what that relationship looks like. So I think that's what Keith's getting at.
Okay.
Exactly, because there's nothing there except for open space. You know, if you're in a room, I mean, you guys are just arguing about 6 foot or 10 foot,
mm-hmm.
and you're in a room right next to each other. You've got things to help you judge that.
Yeah.
And you've got nothing in the air except for space. How do you judge that distance? It's all somebody's perspective.
Yeah. So your point is, as long as we don't hit each other, we're okay, or what?
Well, my point is that they're saying that there's incidences of these things getting too close, and we don't really know exactly how close they are,
mm-hmm.
because it's one person's perspective versus somebody else's.
Got it.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. All right, I have a solution. If they get too close, if they're within Spider-Man netting distance, then they're too close, right? And maybe that's what we equip all the airplanes with a Spider-Man catching contraption. And that'd be kind of cool. And then, your bonus of your flight, you're flying around, doing some training, whatever, just taking a cruise. And maybe you pick up a drone on the way, as a little souvenir. You think? No? You don't like that idea?
I'm just thinking all the hassles getting it STC'd by the FAA to put on the airplane.
Really? It'd be freaking cool. Like, what do you want to put on your plane, sir? I would like to put a Spider-Man catching type net contraption. Instant approval. Because where's your proof? How do you know this is safe? Have you not seen the movies? That's all you need to tell them, right? Keith, you'd buy that, wouldn't you?
That might get your medical revoked about as fast as saying that you just saw a, what do they call them, a UFO?
Yeah.
A UFO? Well, I mean, no, not a UFO, a UAV.
Well, that's a UFO.
It is?
Unidentified flying object.
Well, no, if you identified it and then you caught it in your Spider-Man net, I think you got a good case there.
Yeah.
But you were saying during the commercial break.
His point is that the FAA would say, you crazy, you don't get a medical.
Okay. All right, but your idea, you were saying during the commercial break, actually, is if they're so close where your turbulence causes them to what?
To tumble.
To tumble or fluctuate or become unstable, then they're too damn close.
Yeah.
But that'd have to be pretty damn close, wouldn't it?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, if it was flight turbulence, it'd have to be in the back. You'd already be past the drone.
Ah, ooh.
You wouldn't even know.
That I think some learning has occurred.
Heck,
what do you think, Keith?
Hello. Where's that banana? I've been starving for the last several months.
Here's a banana.
Thank you. Oh, yes. Learning did occur. There's a little bit that has stuck over the few training.
Decades.
That whatever. Okay. We'll get back on track next. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And we are now joined by Tom Haynes from AOPA. You check him out every week on AOPA Live. Tom, how are you? Welcome, my friend.
Hey, Greg. It's good to hear from you. How's things there?
Well, it's much warmer and less snow-covered than where you are, from what I've been told.
That's true in a lot of places, actually.
Well, that's right. And it's good to be in Florida this week, for sure, because when we can call up friends like you and say, you know, glad we're not you kind of thing, kind of makes us feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be of assistance in that matter.
Well, you know, it's all about making Greg feel good about himself.
Well, wait, you live here too, Ed. Well, come on. Don't throw me under the bus exclusively.
That's my job.
Well, that's true. All right. Well, I mean, how is it affecting things where you are? I mean, I guess you're not doing much flying. You're just doing shoveling. Am I right, Tom?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, it's been beautiful weather since the storm ended, and Sunday was fabulous. Would have been a great day to go flying. The problem is the airport's under, you know, about three feet of snow plus drifts. And and so I went to the airport, Frederick Municipal Airport here in Maryland today, where AOPA's offices are. And we had one lane getting into the office, but they hadn't even begun to plow any of the ramp areas. And
is anybody strapping on snow skis on their airplanes up there?
Yeah,
do they?
I haven't seen that yet, but I know in Minnesota and Michigan, places like that, I've done some ski plane flying. And I don't know if anybody in Maryland's got skis for their airplane or not. It would be something to be seldom used, like a snowmobile around here, but a few people have those, so maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there you go. Well,
up in Pennsylvania, in York, Pennsylvania, which is just north of us a little ways, they had a couple of hangars collapse because of the weight of the snow on the roofs and just crushed some airplanes. It was heartbreaking. The pictures were heartbreaking to see these crushed airplanes. Really sickening.
Yeah, that's no fun. No fun at all. But look, I wanted to bring you on this week because, you know, typically I'm the one who gets his balls busted, you know, by Ed and Keith as my flight instructors. But it's your turn because you just did more training.
We're not going to do that to Tom.
You're not going
to
do that? That's something you reserve exclusively for me?
Exclusively for you.
Exclusively for you.
Aren't I special?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so, Greg, thank you for bringing Tom on so that he can join Ed and I.
What is going on here? Jeez. No, seriously, you did some good stuff last week or two, right?
Finished up
some more flight training?
Yeah, last time we talked right before the holidays, I was finished up some training with Ed, their professional flight training, and for a commercial certificate, and it didn't get done, so I went back here in January and. After a fashion, managed to get the certificate done. In fact, I'm in my office at home looking at the suitable for framing temporary pilot certificate.
Very nice.
So,
I saw the picture up on Facebook this week, and Tom holding his certificate, and you know everybody congratulating him. It was good stuff. Yeah. Now, when you get your commercial certificate, you know when you do your first solo, you do the tear the shirt off thing. What do you do for the commercial? Certificate, like tear your drawers off or something. I mean,
no, you pull your hair out.
Pull your hair out, of course. I didn't see that picture, but he was wearing an AOPA cap, so I didn't see that part. I guess.
Well, Greg, now you know what I am.
Well, you know what? It was kind of funny. Everything was done, and we're walking out to the airplane to fly back to Orlando after the test. I said, so, Tom, you're going to do some Lazy Eights? And he had a very colorful comment for me.
Well,
yeah, daggers, I think, went flying over there.
Exactly.
He was quoting Sharknado. Oh, hell no. One of those type of deals? Yeah. But so how did he fare this? Well, for, through this particular session, there, Ed,
he did very good.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like to say that you know, these, as we were talking, I think the last time we had Tom on, is that the commercial maneuvers don't have a lot of practical application.
Yeah,
and it's not stuff that you do in your everyday flying, so it does provide its own set of challenges, but it makes you smoother, you know, a little more proficient and pilot, and that's the whole idea around it.
Well, I was talking to Tom before we went on the air this week, and he was saying that he was challenged a bit, and he felt it was because of his advanced age, like you and Keith. Not necessarily me, but he felt it was kind of like a new trick, old dog kind of thing. Am I right, Tom, or what?
Yeah, boy, there's, I think, a certain element of that, at least for me. I've been starting to look at a little bit about, you know, how your brain ages and the impact of new learning on your brain and how it is that that you process new information. And I don't know,
it breaks it, I believe, doesn't it? When you try to learn something,
Anecdotally, yeah, I agree that somebody our age does take longer and is more challenged with what would be simple at age 20, at age 50 is not as simple. But where we make up for it is judgment and decision making, because we've lived longer and we know how to stay alive, and that's critical as a pilot.
That is, you know,
that's important stuff.
Yeah, when you walk out the door to do your flight training, the wife says, "Okay, don't die. All right," you know. Yeah, I don't got the insurance paid up. You know, that's, I don't usually hear that part. I've already gotten in the car by then. But regardless, older and wiser, I guess, in that sense. But old dog, new trick, you know, trying to throw all this new stuff to us, it is tougher to absorb. I remember back in my flight training, I had the same problem. I thought, I'll be able to do this. I'm a dive instructor. I've went through a lot of technical stuff and training. And I'm into this kind of thing. You know, when I commit to it, I'll do it. But, boy, there were some times there when we were doing the flight training, especially when I was just trying to get my landings to go and get over that hump. And I'm like, my God, I might have bitten off a little bit more than I could chew. And then I see this little, 18-year-old punk, flying around in his Cessna next to mine. And he's like, cruising right along and zipping through it with no issues. And I'm like, damn you. And it just pissed me off. And I use that for motivation. So I don't know is that how you looked at it, Tom, or were you a little bit more constructive than I?
Well, I did. Definitely, it gives me a new respect for all the people I know who have commercial certificates, particularly some of the young people, because I know that there's a group of a fairly young flight instructors at AOPA who have come up through the general aviation pretty quickly. And, of course, somewhere along the way, they got a commercial certificate or they wouldn't be a CFI. But it really gives me a new level of respect for them, because in every way, I'm more experienced than they are. I've flown more hours. I've flown a lot more different kinds of airplanes and a lot more different situations. And yet I was really challenged by this kind of flying. Mm-hmm. And, everybody, I guess, excels at different things. And this one, I just found this kind of flying particularly challenging and some of it just, completely annoying, as we talked the last time about the VFR flight planning. The tediousness of that was just ridiculous, but I guess I'll just get over that and hope to never have to do it again.
You have your iPad. You don't need to worry about it anymore.
Right. But he still has to do some lazy eights just for the hell of it, just to say he's done it kind of thing.
I feel a little obligation somehow to try to retain what little of those skills I had for a little while and see if I can keep them. But
it is annoying though when you see the kids do it. But when we get advanced in our age like this, part of the benefits of being able to that is look down on those younger folks, isn't it? And be that crotchety old man, like, yeah, young punks, you know nothing. I don't care.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, exactly. but you got to flip it around and turn it into a positive to motivate you for your flight training. That's what I did.
It's really also about skills development. I mean, as Ed said, it's all about judgment, right? That's something that we can bring to the equation that somebody who's newer in aviation may not. But also, I think as we age, we need to continue to challenge ourselves from a skill development standpoint and building new experiences. And, as they say, there are people who fly the same hour 1,000 times, and there are people with 1,000 hours. And they're two can be two very, very different pilots. And so we need to make sure that we're the pilot with 1,000 different hours, not a pilot with 1,000 hours one time.
Yeah, I think you really hit on something there, Tom, is that's something that a lot of pilots don't do, is they don't go out and challenge themselves. They go out and do the same flight review year after year after year, the same IPC check year after year after year, and they get good at doing those same things.
Mm-hmm. And staying in their comfort zone.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where, you know, okay, maybe one time instead of getting a flight review, you go out and you get a tailwheel endorsement, because they'll mm-hmm. sign you off on a flight review if they're going to sign you off on a tailwheel, and it's going to challenge you. Or you go out and you get a seaplane rating so it's going to expand your horizons as a pilot. Or, hey, glider. I tell you what, you want to talk about a safety skill, understanding how to glide in an aircraft. The glider, the kids that learn glider first before learning fixed wing or the powered airplanes, mm-hmm. they're great at emergency procedures because they're used to not flying with an engine.
Yeah, they know how to use a rudder, too.
They do that, too.
Yeah. That would make sense, and that would make you a better pilot all the way around, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. The key is to stretch your brain muscle as much as possible. If you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Exactly.
And if you use it too much, you might break it when you get to our age. But, it's a little balance there. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Are sharks keeping you out of the water? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain why you have way more to fear on land next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Thanks to Hollywood, sharks are easily the most feared creatures in the sea. The truth is, you have a much better chance of being struck by lightning or winning the lottery than being bit by a shark. Way more people die from car accidents, bee stings, falling coconuts, and even champagne corks than shark attack. So yeah, with proper perspective and a little common sense, you might be safer in the water than on land. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
This is Just Plane Radio. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith of Flight Training Professionals, who happen to help out AOPA's Tom Haynes with his flight training to get his commercial certificate. And he's now the proud owner recipient of one.
Right? Holder.
Holder of
holder
a
would be the proper
commercial pilot certificate. Now, you did that right here in Orlando, Florida. Were you flying around doing any sightseeing while you're doing this training stuff too, or were you just so engrossed in the training you couldn't enjoy the sights?
He saw lovely Lake Apopka a few times.
I can give you all the details of Lake Apopka. Yeah, definitely.
Lake Apopka. Well, that's our main training ground. Yeah, you ever make it over there by the Disney TFR or no?
No, we didn't. We talked about going over there and busting through that thing, but in the end, we elected not to.
Well, I was watching AOPA Live last week, and you guys mentioned Disney mm-hmm. World, and they evidently have put out some kind of notice that they want to modify this TFR so they could fly their own planes. What's going on there,
Pretty
Tom?
Much. Yeah, they've asked for a waiver for the inside their own TFR to be able to fly drones. They've got this system they're looking at apparently using for some of the night shows where they want to be able to have these drones that are sort of choreographed, all sort of computer linked, and they go out and with lights on them and they do this kind of dancing in the sky. Mm-hmm. And because they are the ones who ask for this flight restricted zone over their own facility, now they have to seek permission to fly anything, even themselves, inside of it. They didn't want the TFRs because they didn't want banner towers flying over the parks, and they wanted to keep advertising away, but it sounds a lot like advertising what it is that they're doing.
It's okay for them, but not for the rest of us.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do.
They're right. Tom, they are the 800-pound gorilla in Orlando.
I bet they are.
You know, they Lake Buena Vista is their own city, and they get to make all the rules.
Yeah. Well, even in the skies, evidently.
Well, evidently not.
Well,
they got to ask.
They'll get it. Come on, let's be real. They're going to get this exemption or whatever the hell they got to do. And actually, that does sound kind of cool. I kind of want to see it. it'll probably be kind of impressive. And it'll. But I'm sure you're right. It'll be some kind of advertising connection to it. Either it'll be advertising to park guests, or they'll be promoting a new film like Planes Part 3, Drones, or something like that. Yeah. So, I'm an Imagineer. I bet you didn't know that. But regardless, that's kind of ironic. And there you go. But it was only a matter of time before that was going to be modified. But you didn't get to enjoy any other scenes other than Lake Apopka, I guess, just focusing on the training.
No, that was pretty much it. And some of the fine cuisine there along Colonial Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you went to Smoky Bones.
Now, I did take you to Ramshackles out in Leesburg that one day.
That's true.
We did venture out a little bit.
Ramshackles? Yeah. What is that? You haven't taken me there.
No.
Yeah.
It's only for special people.
Yeah, of course. You bastard. Yeah. All right. Well, whatever. We know who's friends and who's not. But, it's good that you've done that. And where do you go from here, though? Are you going to put this commercial certificate to use in some capacity, or was it
There's the irony of the whole thing, It's like it was a lot of effort between studying for the written more than a year ago, and taking the written tests, and then all the effort I put into the flying part, and I really have no plans to use it in any practical way. So it truly was all about skills building and just trying to learn new stuff, I guess. Maybe someday down the road I'll have an opportunity to put it to work and ultimately want to get a multi-engine commercial as well. And maybe,
With this license, couldn't he be a pilot for hire now?
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So why wouldn't you put that to use? If I called you up and say, hey, Tom, I got an invite over to the Bahamas. You want to go? I need a pilot. Let's go.
Let's see, Greg, do you own the airplane, or are you renting this airplane?
Hell no.
I did learn something. Ed.
Yes, you did. I was going to say, he's going down the right track for that question.
But I have to say,
yeah,
Tom, the multi-commercial is much easier.
Oh, yeah. I've looked at the practical test standards on that one, and you're right. That does look easier.
Now, why is that?
No lazy eights, no power off 180s.
But you have to manage two engines?
Yeah, but he's done that a lot. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's used to that part.
He flew a B-25. He can fly a Duchess.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, so you don't have an airplane you could put up there for commercial charters right now? Is that the deal, Tom?
Well, if you to offer yourself and an airplane up, you got to have a Part 135 certificate from the FAA, which is a pretty big deal to get and that sort of thing. So,
Ed and Keith for. They got planes at the flight school, right?
We still couldn't do that.
You can't do that? That's a whole different animal?
Yes.
Oh, man. It's always
something. We had that certificate. We sold it.
Really? You could sell your certificate once you get it?
Oh, we sold the company.
Oh, okay. Well, what good are you? That blows. So you need a plane, and then you have to have a plane that has that particular certificate attached to it, and then you have to have the pilot that has the commercial certificate.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. And you just have the certificate. But you have a plane, too, don't you, Tom? I thought you had a plane.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. But so I can go get a Part 135 certificate, but it's a big deal. You know, really what a commercial pilot certificate gives you is just the ability to be hired by somebody and get paid to fly an airplane
that has that.
But then, but the airplane has to be under some sort of an operator certificate.
I gotcha, and that costs like thousands of dollars. I guess, is that the deal?
Yeah, and pretty much. A letter of agreement for doing skydiving or something like that. It's a little easier to obtain, but still a lot of FAA oversight nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's always
so. Greg, what you need to do is you need to buy yourself
an airplane,
single engine airplane, and then you could hire Tom to fly it for you.
Okay, so I could do that. If I own the airplane, I wouldn't have to get that rating for it, that commercial rating.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, I could just have a commercial pilot fly it for me.
Now, so when you going to buy an airplane?
As soon as Keith gives me his credit card, we're good to go.
Oh, here we go.
I'll be quiet, and we'll end it just in the nick of time. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. High news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.